Hey, welcome, golf enthusiasts, to another edition of Playing Through Golf Podcast. Well, it's the day after the Masters.
Oh, that was awesome.
You know, what a perfect weather weekend here to have the Masters. It was rainy and crappy.
Windy.
Yeah, it was super terrible. Windy. But the Masters was on, and I had zero problems sitting on the couch.
I did all weekend.
Yeah, it was perfect.
It was perfect.
Absolutely perfect. So your guys' major takeaway from this week at the Masters was what?
It doesn't matter how far you hit it, because Bernard Langer beat DeChambeau.
That's got to throw some salt in the wound, Bill.
His average distance off the tee
was 250 or 255, something like that?
250, mm-hmm. And he beat him.
He's the – was he the oldest qualifier?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. To make the cut.
Let's be he's a little different than the normal guy.
Yeah, he's an Ironman.
Well, he's kind of a Gary Player type. Yeah. I mean, he's in shape. I mean, he's
yeah. But the major takeaway for me was that even the best budgeted places can still have
flaws.
Yeah. Well, and it just didn't feel it felt different.
It did.
I mean, and they were talking about it Sunday morning about the pin placements too. They weren't traditional.
Nope.
They didn't do a lot of traditional things. Yeah, they didn't do a lot of traditional things that you would normally see on a Sunday.
Yeah.
And it didn't feel like a traditional Sunday. And I think part of that is you don't have fans,
right?
Which is what you count on. But the course just seemed different.
It did seem different, but it didn't take away from the experience for me watching it.
Right.
You know, me with the history or my background. Is I was really fixated on the turf conditions. The rough looked so much different. The fact that they have rough from us old schoolers, they never had rough before.
Right.
You know, some of the new tree placements, you know, things like that. But the pin placement, especially on 16, that was one of the things that stood out. But
isn't that one usually in the front? On Sundays?
On 16, it's back left. That's where Tiger chipped in that one year.
Oh, that's right. It's always up front. Yeah, because it's always up front.
There's a reason I think they did that. I believe it was because the green speeds weren't where they had been. Mm-hmm. So if people hit it up there, it wasn't going to roll down and get real close. Because they don't mind it being an easier hole and hole-in-ones and all that.
Right.
Because it adds to the drama of the hole.
Right.
But I think that was maybe one of the reasons they did that.
Maybe to protect the brand a little, maybe?
I don't know. Maybe.
I mean, we'll see it again here in April.
We'll see it in. I just saw it today. 144 days.
144 days, and so we'll see what the difference in the conditions are.
It'll be way different.
Probably a lot different. I mean, they had to really do something different to get this course ready. I'm sure.
Yeah. No, it was going from overseed to hosting a major in that amount of time. I don't care what your budget is. That was going to be a huge undertaking, and then you got all that rain on top of it. Yeah. The course looked.
It looked good. Yeah.
And there was a lot of mud balls early week.
Yep.
You know, the course firmed up a little bit, but you could see where the rough there isn't long. It's not that penal.
Right.
Penal.
He said penal.
It was. But you could drop it in the rough and not see the ball.
Right.
But that's just immature ryegrass plant, right? So the guys were having no problem hitting it out of there.
Right. And was it me? It seemed like there was a lot more guys in the trees than normal.
Yes.
They were trying to cut a lot of corners.
Yeah, it seemed like they were in the trees a lot more than I'm used to seeing them in the trees.
Yeah, well, I think they added a certain amount of trees to try to prevent guys, like on 13.
Mm-hmm.
I think they added some trees around that corner because they were tired of the guys
cutting it
so much.
Is that 9? Or it's like a little dog-like left, and they were taking it over top of the corner trees? You know what I'm talking about?
To get to a par 4 or par 5?
It was a longer par 4.
Well, 9 is a longer par 4.
And it kind of goes downhill or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're all cutting the corner. If you didn't cut the corner, you were in the church.
Yeah, and then there's so many like on 11 if you don't – you have to – and it's a par 4, but it's still – I think it was on Sunday it was 500 yards.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, let's get into – our predictions.
God bless you.
All right. So.
All right, Travis.
Let's see here. Chris, you had Brooks Koepka, right?
Yep.
Well, on the final day, he was 2 under. He's tied for 7th.
Finished in the top 10.
With a total of 10 under. Yeah, so he's qualified for next year.
Yep.
Travis, let's check the tape on yours. I believe you had.
I had the winner.
You had DJ.
I picked DJ.
Who, even after going bogey, bogey on the front. I think it was 2 and 3 or 3 and 4, whatever it was. Still ended up going 4 under for the day.
Yep.
And for a total of 20 under, which we'll get into that number a little later. Mm-hmm. And the winner, like pretty much a walk-off winner from hole 13 on, if we're being real about it.
Once he got through the par 3 12, and
yeah,
it was a done deal.
So yeah, once he didn't take a TW on that one, we'll get into. I'm scrolling through now. I'm trying to find my pick here. Hold on a second.
Yeah, keep going.
Yeah, no, it's okay. Tied for 34th was my pick, and a lot of other people's picks for who would be the favorite in this. Bryson DeChambeau. The final round, he was +1 for a total of 2 under for the tournament.
That's got to hurt.
It's got to sting a little bit.
That's got to hurt.
It doesn't bother me any.
No.
But, as a matter of fact, where he finished was perfect.
It bothers one person.
I had a wager with Senor Harris.
Yeah, young Jacob Harris.
he said Tiger Woods is going to finish ahead of Bryson DeChambeau. Ugh. And we may have put a 50 spot on it.
I think you did put a 50 spot on it.
Well, I'm not going to lie, I was a little nervous going into... Well, first I was nervous he wasn't even going to make the cut.
But then it happened.
He made the cut.
But then it happened.
He made it squeaked on the number,
in.
Didn't he?
Yep.
Then it happened.
Squeaked in. And Tiger Woods was... He was playing well.
Yeah.
Playing well on Sunday.
Thursday...
He couldn't get a putt to drop.
That'll be another one of those green speed things I was talking about.
Yep. But Thursday, he played like the GOAT.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
all the fairways. He did everything he was supposed to.
And he looked good.
And he looked very good.
Yeah,
he even said that he my back felt good, I feel good, and then Friday and Saturday it just went.
He had to play a lot of rounds.
Yeah, and that's part of it. Yeah. Was so Thursday he played great, right? Yep. Friday they had to come in, or he played fairly well on Friday, but then Saturday, didn't he have to do 27 holes?
27 holes.
And then, so a long day for him, and then get back in early because they played earlier and they were double teeing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I think he had to tee off at like 9 o'clock. Well, if you're playing in something like that, you're getting up 3 hours before your round to get a practice session in.
He said he had to get up at 3:30.
Yeah, see there.
To get his body
ready.
Ready.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's not like the old days, right? Because he's had several back surgeries, couple knee surgeries.
Fusion surgery.
Yeah, fusion. So, well, Tiger was, he was making it very, very difficult for me to collect my 50 until hole number 12.
Well, you were complaining about it.
Oh, I was going to complain.
You were complaining about it.
I'm a complainer.
Yeah.
So, you think? Sorry.
So, so Tiger gets up on the tee. 148 yards on number 12 that day.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And proceeds to tee it up and hit it about 142 yards.
And spun it right back.
And down into the water it went.
He went 10 cup on it.
So then he goes to the drop area. You know, it's a water hazard, so you're allowed to go back on line of flight. He goes back, takes a wedge, clips it, flies it about 5 feet short of the cup. With lots of spin.
Lots of spin.
He pulled the string on it, not meaning to,
mm-hmm.
and back in the water she goes. Well, he drops again, hits it into the back bunker.
It was an awkward stance.
Very awkward. That whole bunker, I've never seen anybody go onto the green out of that back bunker.
I haven't either.
In all my years. They've always gone sideways out of mm-hmm. that thing.
Yeah.
Never at the pin, especially when the pin is over there.
Mm-hmm.
But isn't that also a testament of the conditions, too?
Yep.
I mean,
because he thought it was probably going to be slow enough.
Yep.
Well... he thins it out of the back bunker, and
groove that thing.
Yeah.
So he
did a Chris Lopez on that one.
He hit a whole ball of sleeves into Rays Creek right there on number 12.
Yep.
Like so, eventually he gets in for a crowd pleasing 10. Well, a DeChambeau, screw it, a me pleasing 10 because that gave me some cushion.
Gave you your $50 back.
Well, and then he proceeds to come back and go...
He birdied five of the last six.
Five of the last six. And yeah. DeChambeau, at the same time, was going 3 over on the front. Because he started on the back.
Yep.
So I won by one stroke to get my 50
That's
bucks.
That's got to hurt, Jacob.
It does.
Hurt.
Jacob's bitter.
Yeah, I'm sure he's bitter.
He's bitter.
Yeah.
So anyway, the reason that DeChambeau gave for not playing well all week was that he wasn't feeling well.
Oh, here we go.
He was dizzy.
You just didn't feel right out there.
Didn't feel right. Yeah, that's – well, we'll see in 144 days, 145 days.
Yeah, we'll see if he's got some game when he comes out.
But let's get to the real winners here. And those guys that were up in the top 10 that we pretty much watched the whole round. Mm-hmm. McIlroy, he had a great day.
But he struggled Thursday. He was like three over, and what did
he have, 73 the first day?
No, he was
73.
I want to say he was two or three over, and then he came back and.
Yeah, and then he lit it up.
Friday.
Then he just lit it up.
He tore it apart.
I mean, it's hard to figure that kid out. I mean, it really is, because he's got all the bloody talent in the world to dominate that course, and there's something about it. I mean, ever since he put that one in the trees. You know, how many years ago?
It's
kind of like what we're talking about with Spieth, too. I mean, you do something there that just screws you around when you look like you're going to win it, and then you never come back from it.
Yeah.
And he just has never been able to get over that hump.
Well, a past champion actually went even for the day and still finished at 9-under, tied 10th, and that would have been Patrick Reed.
Right. Nobody cares.
Yeah, right? So what was your favorite screw-up shot of the whole week? I know what mine was.
John Rahm. He was one of us.
Yep.
Which one?
Was that number? That was.
Did we just talk about it?
Yeah, we talked about it just before.
Number nine or whatever?
Oh, yeah.
That was during your third beer.
Oh, my bad. Bill Threewood.
Bill Threewood, yeah.
Yeah,
he Bill Threewooded it.
Mm-hmm. He's referring to a low.
Screamer.
A low power draw, we'll say.
Yeah.
Some people refer to it as a duck hook. I call it a low power draw.
Yeah, that's
So, yeah. Actually, I think that was number eight because it was a par five.
Yeah.
So that wasn't my favorite shot of his. It was the one that followed that.
That followed that one. That was awesome.
So he had had to hit a low punch shot between two trees.
What club did he have in his hand?
I think he had a 6-iron.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know, but whatever it was, it wouldn't have mattered.
Because
he squared that tree and then it went right out of bounds.
Yeah, but.
Or under a bush, unplayable.
Yeah.
There wasn't a tight gap.
No, it wasn't.
It was actually doable. Something that we could have gotten through.
Yeah, it was doable.
Yeah.
He squared that tree.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't even go look for his ball.
No, he didn't.
Like, I'm just going to drop over here.
And he watched it go over. He's like, the slow-mo replay, his head follows it slowly.
Yeah.
And right under that bush, it almost hit that lady standing there. And then he just...
Yeah,
starts looking around for a rules official. He's like,
"Come here, guys."
Well, they said after he finished that hole that he went walking off on his own for a few minutes, and there was a few people nearby and threw a fit. I mean, they said he was cursing in Spanish,
really
something awful, and people said it was really uncomfortable. They had to walk away from him because he was so
pissed.
As he
should.
But you know,
shot.
Yeah, it was. But at least he didn't do it right there.
Right.
Yeah, he went off by himself. He did.
Yeah. I mean, he got away from the cameras.
He didn't want to damage his brand. Oh, his Bryson DeChambeau.
Yeah.
Those guys, you know, I was listening to some guys talk this morning about it. They can't wait for Brooks Koepka to start chiming in on Twitter about Bryson DeChambeau.
Yeah. Because
you know how he would,
Yep.
You know, he's like always throwing shade at Brooks. And well, Brooks is kind of like, hey, you know what, dude?
Yeah.
Good round, though, bro.
Yeah.
Nice try.
Well, they did throw some
shade. Way to win the guy in Northwestern Illinois $50.
Did you hear what he said like on Tuesday or Wednesday, DeChambeau? Part of him was 67.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Well, look what happened, bud.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, so you finished the tournament with 8 over?
Yeah. Good job, bud.
DJ's laughing at you right now.
Well, speaking of throwing shade, they threw some shade at Brooks. Wasn't it because DJ wins and ever since Brooks had said, well, he's only won one, you know, and they're like, well, what do you think about that, bud?
Back in the day, they were really tight for a long time. I imagine they're still friends, but I don't think they're as tight as they were.
No, I don't think so.
Because, I mean,
something happened.
They would work out together. They would play a lot of practice rounds together.
So
there's something that bothered me a little bit about the final round and how the broadcast went. There was several players that were within striking distance for a while, right? It was mostly M, Smith, JT had his shot.
Yep.
But in that group, and Rory, I mean, he was hot for a while.
Yeah, he was hot for a bit.
But there was a guy, I think he's from Spain, Fertelli.
Dylan Fertelli. He won the Deer Classic.
So they showed him... so many times overshowing Smith, who was actually
In contention.
Way more in contention. And I was like, okay, I get it.
And seemed more interesting.
Right.
Yeah.
Fratelli hits it a long ways, but he wasn't particularly hitting it well.
Right.
In the final round. As a matter of fact, the final round, he shot even.
Mm-hmm.
So by the back nine, you kind of knew that he wasn't moving.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of those things, like, they pick out guys and they put them on more because they want them to do something. They right. want this guy to be
yeah.
a poster child.
Yeah.
And I just got so annoyed. And I would have, if I was all those people in Australia, you know, breakfast
yeah.
in Australia for the Masters is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And their countryman was in contention, and he kind of, and that shot that he hit on, what was that, like 13 or something that he hit? No, not 13, where he hit it over the bunker and it trickled down.
Oh, yeah.
That was amazing. Out of the trees. They said he did that
2 days in a row now.
Mm-hmm. Flat out amazing.
Yeah. I mean, he had some shots, and I mean, there's some luck involved.
Yeah.
I mean, he thought it was going in the trap. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it was 6 inches, and it just was the perfect shot.
So, that's what everybody,
mm-hmm.
you referenced. Anyway, so they were talking about Smith's appearance compared to Fratelli.
Yeah.
Is why maybe he wasn't getting as much airtime. And I was like, hold on, because the kids, he looks
like a frat boy.
He looks kind of a nerdy kid. Like he's not super masculine looking.
Mm-hmm.
He played rugby, did you know that?
I bet he gave up rugby to play golf because it got hurt.
Yeah, he didn't like getting hit.
I can imagine.
He only liked running.
run away.
Yeah.
Because, I can't imagine that kid playing Australian rules football.
No. No, seriously, you got to be another line of crazy if you're going to do that.
Yeah. It was just one of those things that I, like, oh, hey, Fratelli, he finished at 15 under. At one point, he was, like, 2 off.
Yeah.
And, like, oh, okay, what's he doing? I don't give a shit about Fratelli pulling another one left into the woods. I don't care.
No.
But do you think that this is a different, mm-hmm. Masters. You know, usually in a regular year, they do this, where they get onto certain people because they'll show, what's changed. You know, they'll put a time up there at 9 o'clock.
Oh, yeah.
The whole field's here. 11 o'clock, now the field has changed. And they start to focus in on guys.
Yeah, no, typical.
But I think they were hoping that they were going to get something like that. But again, you don't have a crowd and you don't have roars. Not a lot of people are going to fold up. I mean, it's really funny. In the past, you could watch a Masters and watch those last, 7-8 holes and watch people fold up like a book or rise to the occasion.
Just from 12 on.
Well, yeah.
But because 15 and 16 are so close together,
mm-hmm.
guys hitting their tee shot on 16,
mm-hmm.
if something happened on 15, like somebody hit it on the green, which there was guys that were hitting great shots and they didn't even know it.
Right.
They're like, because there's nobody cheering.
Well, that shot you just talked about. He's like, where'd it go?
Yep.
He couldn't find it.
Yeah, he had no idea.
Yeah.
Even off the tee, be like, they turn around and be like, yeah, where'd the ball go? It's over there somewhere.
Well, you saw guys following their shots because they wanted to see where it was going to land. Because nobody would, you could count on the crowd telling you where it's at.
Yeah.
And they can't count. They couldn't count on anybody doing that.
Which, so again, it was one of those things that changed it. Tiger was talking about it early week where the putts just aren't breaking like they traditionally do because they're slower, so they're not taking as much break.
Right.
Is that, you take out the hole 12 for Tiger, he's finishing top 20 if it wasn't for that hole.
Right.
That's pretty impressive for conditions. Like you have to look at this as almost playing a new course for him because of the way the conditions were and the greens weren't reacting the same that he's been – I think, was this his 23rd year?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
He had 23 years of watching these break a certain way, and he wasn't getting the same break or the same pace and all that kind of thing, which everybody has to adapt and play the same course. We get that. But for Tiger, it was just one of those things.
It's impressive. He didn't have a lot of lead up into this tournament either, too. I mean, he really hasn't played a whole lot this year.
No, and they said a lot of the caddies, when they showed up, because they always have notes from, like, past years and whatnot.
Right.
They threw them all out. They said it was a totally different golf course from...
And, you go into it, knowing where those traditional Sunday pins are, which on 16, I love it when it's back left.
Mm-hmm.
It's not too far from the water. The guys hit it up on there. It rolls down. And
there's a chance it's going to go in.
This year we didn't have that. It was front right.
I mean, it was pretty vanilla last six, seven holes. I mean, it really wasn't anything exciting.
It was really different than what it had been in past, which...
Yeah, I mean, that course, I think, it's just that whole tournament is going to change once they're able to get the fans back there and play in the traditional time of year that they're used to playing.
I really hope that it's at least somewhat back to normal fans-wise, because the cheers are what drives
that. That's what drives that course. That's what drives the people in the field.
Yeah.
Is that they count on those. I mean, because even if you're not in contention, you make a good shot. The crowd acknowledges it, and it messes with people in their head.
Yeah.
You know, so it's kind of funny to watch some of them fold up.
So I'm going to go through the top 10. Patrick Reed, Webb Simpson, Connors, tied for 10th. Koepka, Rahm, and Pan tied for 7th. McIlroy and Fratelli tied for 5th. JT finished solo 4th. And M and Smith finished tied 2nd with DJ 4 under on round 4, 20 under total, which is a record.
All-time
record.
Right.
All-time low.
So, I mean, beating...
What were his four-day scores?
I don't know.
Because Smith was, what they say, is the first one to go 60s.
All four rounds. I want to say DJ went like 66, 68, 70.
Yeah, I can't get that up.
71. Yeah. He shot in the 70s on
Saturday. He had 170 in the group, but, you know, and think about it, Cameron Smith, you got to be pretty buoyed about, you know, you went four rounds in the 60s and nobody's ever done that.
Ever.
Yeah.
That was really impressive.
Yeah, that's impressive. You know, so you know that at some point, you know, I mean, you start to see the guys that are going to contend each year.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you kind of saw Cantlay fall off a little bit, but then he kind of got it together. But
yeah,
he
well, you know, DJ shot in the 70s on Saturday.
Yeah.
Or he went 65-70, 65-68.
That's still good.
And
Smith went 67-68-69-69.
And who was our low amateur?
Ogletree
tied for 34th. He went even on the final day for 2 under total, so he was tied with Bryson DeChambeau.
Yeah. But what they say on midway through Sunday, DJ only missed 4 fairways the entire time.
Yeah, averaging probably 315 off the tee.
Jesus. Yep, and then his greens and reg were outrageous too.
You know, that's what I was telling, I can't remember who I was messaging with, but we were going into, they're about ready to make the turn. And I said, M has got a great short game, but he can't keep this up and stay close. Right. He's going to have to start hitting greens. And he didn't, but he also scrambled like crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
That kid has got some touch.
He's got some serious short game.
Like, and you know, he has decent power too. Yep. Like, I was pretty surprised by his play.
Mm-hmm.
But so let's be honest, who was the star of the final round? Right, DJ's coming up 18. You notice how he pulled the trigger really quick. He hit his tee shot, gets up there, bam, hits his next shot. He's on the green. We know he's going to win. He's not seven jacking it from that spot.
Right.
Who was the star of the show from that point on until they were in the Butler cabin?
Gretzky's daughter,
Paulina Gretzky.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yes.
What was it that did a Twitter thing of him? He's walking off the green and he's got his hand on his girl's butt and is like, congratulations in everything.
Yeah. Congratulations in life, bro.
Yeah, seriously.
You know, it wasn't as bad as when he won the U.S. Open.
Oh, yeah.
That was terrible.
Yeah.
Because, yes, she was wearing, you know, yoga pants in this one, but the last one she wore a miniskirt that
leave a lot to the imagination.
Yeah, no, it was
that way.
And then they had to go up on the bridge. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
I was like, the cameraman had to know what he was doing. Like, oh, God.
Yeah.
So, anyway,
there's only one word for all that. That's hot.
Yeah, no.
It's just hot.
Winning in life, man. Yeah, so,
yeah. I mean, think about all the guys that have won and had those hot girlfriends. You know, I mean, who was the one that had, what was his name? Duffner. Remember when he had his hand literally all over his girl.
Yeah, but was that the same one that Tiger Man had taken away?
Yes.
Yeah, she was.
Well, how about the year Koepka won? Won a tournament, and she's staring at Tiger like, oh, Tiger.
Yeah, all the memes that came off of that one were terrible.
Like, there were some great memes from this tournament, too,
though. Yeah, that's...
I mean, if anything, this was a really good tournament to follow on Twitter because some of the comments on Twitter were priceless.
Yeah. Oh, did you see the one priceless they put out there with, you know, he's putting the stuff in the bag after he holes out on 18.
Yeah.
And everybody's the meme out there is showing him with a little white baggy stick stuffing it in there.
Right.
Stop it. I mean, I was watching. I did not see it. Just, hey, don't pretend like you're holier than thou. DJ made some mistakes in life, but come on, get off your high horse and quit being a D-bag.
I mean, they got to get off with a lot of those things with a lot of the players.
Because
some of these guys have made some bad choices, but you know what?
No, who hasn't?
Yeah, I mean, seriously.
I'm not sure.
I've never made a bad choice.
I'm not sure how old DJ is, but he's been on tour a while. He was in his 20s when he and making millions of dollars a year. You think you give this guy right here with two thumbs right here $1 million in his mid 20s? Oh yeah, no, strictly only good things are happening. Yeah. I'm going to the orphanage. No, after.
What's the line? You
come on.
Yeah. What's the line do you like to use there, Bill?
What's that? Good clean living, baby.
Good clean living. Yeah. Good clean living. Yeah. I mean, you go back to all these guys that have been controversial about certain things, and it's like there's so many. I remember they were harping on Tiger one year about his language on the course, and I'm like, have you ever been to a golf tournament? I mean, all those guys cuss.
Yeah.
All of them.
Oh, yeah. They caught a lot of them on camera over the weekend.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of dirty language that goes on.
So I'm glad DJ won. I'm actually, the speech that he had at the end there, where he got choked up and he couldn't get through it.
Yep.
It was really good to see, because that was kind of one of the things that had been kind of a knock on him.
He's emotionless.
Yeah, he's just going through the motions. He doesn't really care about it. This kind of proved otherwise.
Yeah, he said earlier in the week he could – I know he cares about the other tournaments, like the other
majors. Yeah, right.
He said this one that he would – this is the one that he wanted to win the most. And his brother's his caddy.
Oh, his brother couldn't hold it together.
When he had the putt.
Yeah, he was already –
he only had like 6 inches.
Yeah, but he was already losing
it. Oh, he was already, yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't want to say you feel bad, but his brother's been on his back for 7 years, and it was kind of by accident. Did you guys hear that story?
A little bit, yeah.
He was like, well, my brother's going to be on the bag this week, and then we're going on vacation. His regular full-time caddy was having a kid or something was going on. He's like, hey, man, just stay home. Don't worry about it. My brother will be on the bag this week. Mm-hmm. Then we're going to go to Thailand, and then don't fly out for this other event. Well, then he ended up winning that event, and his brother's never left his bag.
Yeah.
So, you know what, but good for a family first and all that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, there's one thing about the Masters, too. They talk a lot about the family. Mm-hmm. I mean, Tiger and his kids, Jack and his kids. I mean, all of these guys and their family.
Jack and his kids and his grandkids.
His grandkids. Yeah. His probably soon to be great-great-grandkids. Yeah. Who knows?
So, you know, I don't know if I should say that. We talked about Lee Elder being.
Right.
Have you seen Lee Elder lately?
Mm-hmm. They talked to him the other day.
Yeah, and that's the first time I'd seen him in a long time. How is he hitting a tee shot? I mean, they had help him. He's with a cane. Looks like he's blind in one eye.
He's blind in his left eye.
Yeah, I'm like,
They'll figure it out.
I hope so.
Well, I mean, you got to figure he's going to at least try to work at it beforehand. I mean, it's not like he's going to sit on his butt and say, well, I'm not going to practice.
I don't know.
One tee shot is all you got to hit.
Yeah.
One tee shot is all you got to hit. And even
I just
Jack,
don't want anybody to be embarrassed.
It used to be that Jack would get up there and hit it pretty good. And you know, and you can see the age starting to creep in on him. Yeah. You know, it pretty much sounded like one of mine when he hit this one.
Oh, it was.
It was.
But then you go over to who else was
Gary Player.
Gary Player, he put a move on that ball.
Yeah, he absolutely
for being
did.
81 years old or 82 years old.
Mm-hmm. That guy's going to be doing it until he's 100.
Yeah, it's. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I'm a little worried about Lee. I don't want him to be embarrassed or anything.
I think they'll help him work at it.
I hope so.
Somebody has to, you know.
I hope so. And I I'm excited that 144 days or whatever it is, we're doing this again.
Right.
But let's talk about some of the rookies in the field that we're kind of talking smack.
Matt Wolf.
Mm-hmm. Hey, it's just another course.
Yeah.
How'd that work out? Yep. At a plus three.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say the cut was even.
Yeah, good effort.
It was even.
Yeah, because that's the only way Spieth was getting in.
Yep.
Yeah, Gary Woodland didn't make it. He wasn't talking smack.
Mm-hmm.
Henrik Stenson didn't make the cut. Mm-hmm. The list of Morikawa didn't make it either, did he?
Nope.
Did you see the shot that Morikawa hit? He was on the bank and it was a chip shot. And it was a really steep bank, and he went to chip it, and it popped straight up in the air.
Oh, popped straight up and went backwards.
And then landed and popped right back in the water.
Oh.
Yeah, that was tough.
That's going to leave a mark.
Yeah, it was, woof. Kuchar didn't make it.
Mm-mm.
Kuchar, Georgia Tech guy and U.S. amateur champ. I'm not sure if DJ is from Georgia, but they said he's from about an hour and a half away from Augusta, so he's got to be somewhere close. Could be in Georgia. But that's one of the things that he really considered that course to be, you know, kind of
close
a home course.
Home.
Yeah. So anyway, I thought it was a great week. The course showed itself well, but it kind of played out course conditions wise the way we kind of thought it was going to. But and it'll be a totally different animal come April.
Come April.
Yeah. So and hopefully fans will be there.
I hope so.
Because that has to have the fans.
And let's go back to the regular Sunday traditional pin placements and.
Well, I think conditions will determine that. I think they just had to work with what they had. I think even the Masters people, all the members and things like that knew that there was going to be some differences just based on the time of year and things like that. The earlier tee times because of the sun.
Yeah, the shorter days.
You know, when have you ever seen on even a really nice day still kind of delayed getting started, things like that. Mm-hmm.
It was a great tournament. I'm so glad we actually got it for this year. I was happy to see DJ win it.
Mm-hmm.
Me too.
Yeah, there was no money on it.
Yeah, that's the thing.
I don't care. I won.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, had there been money on it,
I would have lost.
Yeah, DJ would have never made the cut.
He
would have never made the cut. and Cameron Smith probably would have won it.
And we can't. Well, you know, I wouldn't mind seeing Cameron Smith win as long as it wasn't Patrick Reed again.
Oh, no. There was a great meme on him, too.
Oh, it just broke the chair.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, oh, boy.
All right, on that note, let's wrap this up.
Let's wrap it up.
All right, thanks to everybody for joining in. Anything?
What are we doing next week?
We'll probably be doing a quick nine review of
Sunrise
in Bettendorf, Iowa, and talking about kind of the silly season coming up with the remainder of the year in golf, and we'll go from there.
Sounds
cool.
Good.
All right.
See ya.
Late.